You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, April 20th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report.
Just sounds so good.
We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, TPA, Democrats coming out against it, but will it be enough? I almost feel like we have to listen into right-wing radio today to see if they're talking about it. My guess, no. Also on the program today, the Comcast deal. Is it possible the DOJ will strike it down? That's what's being reported. Also on the program today, you thought Brian Williams telling fibs was bad. What about NBC not informing anyone, even the correspondent who was held in Syria, as to their beliefs that he was misreporting who had kidnapped him? Meanwhile, the FBI, or I should say FBI experts, over the course of a 20-year period, gave flawed testimony for almost every single case, leading to, well, at least multiple wrongful convictions that we know of, and possibly the death of innocent people. Meanwhile, in New York, Attorney General Eric Schneiderman starting to bring in some national retailers, seeing if they are abusing labor laws by putting too many employees on call. And, of course, we will do a roundup of the clown car, Chris Christie sinking like a lead balloon in terms of support. And, well, I guess in New Jersey, a third term seems out of the question right now. And I don't even know if you're allowed to run for a third term in New Jersey. Meanwhile, Rubio has his own personal billionaire, which would make things very interesting for Jeb Bush. It's an amazing story about why this guy is supporting Rubio. I mean, he's friends with him, but it's also he doesn't like Jeb Bush. So he's going to, I mean, Cenk and I were talking about this on Friday, but this is just an unbelievable case of like, I'll drop $40 million into this thing, make it interesting. I mean, it's basically, and I should warn you people today, everything is going to be a gambling metaphor after my week in Vegas. Everything. So in this instance, it's like me walking over to, let's say, the roulette table and saying, I'll put a buck down. I'll make it interesting. I'll put $5 down. That's basically what a billionaire does when he says, should I put $1,000 into, now, you know, $25 million just to see what happens. We should tell you that today is Teaser Tuesday, even though it's, in fact, a Monday. Tomorrow may run an interview with Linda Lipson, who is the head of the American Association for Justice. Basically, a trial lawyer lobby, essentially. But very good on stuff like forced arbitration, which we have, I think, talked about broadly speaking on this program in the past. But interesting stuff there. Let's start today's teaser Tuesday off. And I know it's Monday. You don't, and that's one of the bylaws of teaser days. It doesn't have to be the day. It doesn't have to be Tuesday. That's it. It was not easy to squeeze that provision through, but we did it on this program. Hey, folks, you know what? You don't like it? You go be a four-time award winner of the podcast awards, and then you can go set up your own parliamentary bylaws when it comes to Teaser Tuesdays. I want to thank you again for, it goes without saying that this award is a function of you because literally you gave it to us. This is not one of those things like, oh, well, you know, the audience is so supportive of us that it sort of got, no, like literally you all voted for us and I would imagine in some instances voted multiple times a day, even though you weren't necessarily supposed to. But I appreciate it. It was very fun to win, particularly in a room full of people who had, it was a little clicky there. People were very excited about that Adam Curry No Agenda show, which I've never heard of, and so I have no opinion on it, but apparently he's been podcasting for a long time, and there was, then of course they're a long time support there, but it was a weird ceremony. I was not enamored with the hosts, let's put it that way. I was doubly disappointed because Dennis Miller was not there. And I knew that going into it. We had gotten word that he wasn't going to be there. That's why we did that whole routine with the doll. Did we post that video?
Yes.
Oh, good. So I would have brought the doll there had he been there, but he wasn't. And I would have said stuff about Dennis Miller, but it just seemed at that point like everybody wanted to go home. And by home, I mean into the casino. Let's start this show with something that Michael desperately wanted me to talk about last week. He was emailing me. Look, there are times when you get called out. And as a liberal, as a metropolitan sexual, I get accused of being a metrosexual. I'm not. I'm a metropolitan sexual.
Now that I know what you're talking about, I could just tell you that I was getting my cuticles taken care of at the salon.
Right.
And this came across my iPhone, and I could only respond with, okay, fine.
Right, there you go. I don't get a mani. I just get a pedicure. That's it. I don't have to. So apparently there's this rabbi, Daniel Lapin. I don't know what Orthodox rabbi.
He's a conservative, very right wing. He's kind of the right's go-to rabbi. I don't know what his background is, but he was the guy who wrote a couple years ago. We did a segment on like the Jewish way of making money. Mm-hmm. He did a thing with Pat Robertson. And anyways, that's who he is.
Well, I mean, we should probably just play this. He's got a weekly radio show. And it's 2.5 minutes long, but it's important for you folks to realize. I know a lot of you liberals out there, you hear about these Muslim extremists and you're torn. One hand, you're totally disgusted by what they do. On the other hand, you're oddly attracted to them, right? Let's hear this.
Is conservatism more masculine or feminine, or is liberalism more masculine or feminine? Which is it? Well, I don't think you have to spend too much time thinking about it to arrive at the conclusion that liberalism is incredibly feminine. Incredibly feminine. And here is one of the interesting phenomena about feminine. Feminine loves strength. Feminine loves soft femininity, loves hard masculinity, to put it very directly. And in a way that I'm sure my last caller, Jabral from Oakland, would...
Could you pause it for a second? What is this? I'll tell you, I mean, I'm just not for nothing. But you walk around the parking lots I used to hang out in Worcester with that accent. Somebody's going to beat you up.
Maybe he wasn't from Oakland. Would I'm sure agree with, if there is one thing that Islam has proven itself to be, certainly in recent years and even longer ago than that, it is very masculine. It is violent. It is aggressive. It is dominating. And it is very firm and very confident and very sure of itself. All of these very masculine characteristics. And I believe that liberalism is drawn to it. I think liberals want to be seduced by Islam. I think liberals lay themselves down before masculine strength. And I'm sorry. I wish that I would love to see the Judeo-Christian faiths become much stronger and much more masculine, if you like. I think it's important. I think it's one of the reasons that Islam, as well as Judaism and Christianity, tend to speak of God as He, because we as human beings are more comfortable, and correctly so, reacting and responding to male demands rather than female demands. There is a reason that it is biologically impossible for a woman to rape a man. Can't be done. And I do believe that a good deal of liberalism's supine nature with respect to Islam, liberalism's docility in the face of Islam, has to do with a deep desire to yield to strength.
Say it.
That was amazing.
That was pretty good. Now, let me see if I got this straight. Liberals are feminine. Conservatives are masculine. Also, radical Islamic terrorists are masculine.
That's correct.
Liberals lay themselves down because they're feminine and are attracted to the strength and the masculinity of the Islamic fundamentalists. But why aren't we also attracted to
because
in this country? Because they're also masculine.
Because we hate white people so much.
Okay.
That's a pretty easy one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I know I should just like...
It's that Barry White.
It's
that guy.
Barry White.
That's pretty amazing.
Why don't
love
you
that.
Listen up here, liberals? I'm going to blow up this school.
It's just
bus.
Something we wanted to... I know people are like, why are you doing this? But we just
want
to do a little bit of sound. We're going to get into this other stuff. But there's something very demented about these guys. And they don't stop.
I just have to say, I like how every time you play a clip like this, it's like a gunshot that ricochets in so many directions. Because you're following the line and you're like, all right, this is hilarious. Great, like liberals are attracted to, you know, ISIS fighters or whatever. That's great. That's hilarious. And there's male and, you know, masculine, feminine, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's just like, I mean, there's a reason why women can't rape men. It just slides this whole other thing in there that could take you into like a whole other
I don't know. God knows scenario. What you're talking about. I don't know. We spent too much time on that already. That was it's funny, but it's also who gives a crap. All right. So this I care about, and this is good news in my from my perspective. Apparently, this is according to a Bloomberg News reporting on Friday. Staff attorneys at the U.S. Justice Department's antitrust division are nearing a recommendation to block Comcast Corp's bid to buy Time Warner Cable. It's a $45 billion proposal. And what happens is, if the Justice Department's antitrust division determine that this should be blocked, this merger, I should say, this buyout, then what happens is the head of the division decides whether to file a lawsuit in federal court to essentially block the sale. More often than not, that's all it takes at that point. But we shall see. Sometimes they will continue on and there will be a lawsuit. Justice Department lawyers have been contacting outside parties in last week to shore up evidence to support a potential case against the merger. Now, what this is in contrast to is when they're about to okay a merger, they begin to negotiate certain aspects with, let's say, the parties like Comcast, certain aspects of the deal that would have to change if they are sort of, you know, marginal issues for the deal to go through. They have not done any of that. So this appears to be the case. The FCC has to sign off on this as well. And I'm not sure what the procedure, if it's the same as the Department of Justice. I imagine they could simply just not approve a license, and so they don't necessarily have to go through with a lawsuit. Interesting side note, too, that the chief of the antitrust division has had to recuse himself from this investigation because he previously represented NBC Universal when Comcast bought the network back in 2011. So there's all sorts of concerns. I mean, to have one massive cable company, which is the biggest, which would be the biggest player in terms of delivering the internet and cable to people's homes, I think it's fairly self-evident what's problematic about that. And you should know the infrastructure that exists now in terms of delivering the internet, because now, just like literally over the past, I don't know, 6 months, there's so much more behind the cable cutting where you're starting to see a la carte features that are delivered through like a Roku or a Apple TV. So you can now get HBO without having cable. You can get, I don't know, there's another streaming service that gives you 20 channels without having cable, live. There's unlikely to be another wired way other than the cable that exists now to deliver the internet. From here on out, it's probably going to be wireless. I don't know if it's going to be 5G or WiMAX or whatever they say, but that's basically it. So these guys would own that infrastructure, and nothing to stop them from just raising your internet rates excessively. So this is good news. It's not the end of the story, but it's a good place to be at this point in the story. Also, I want to talk about, before we take a break and head into the end our teaser Tuesday, is this story about Richard Engel, who back in 2012, at the end of 2012, I guess it was, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, he was kidnapped with a couple of his camera guys. And when he, after he was freed, he reported that he had been abducted by Shia militiamen who were loyal to Bashar Assad. And, but it turns out now, according to the New York Times and NBC, that all of that was faked. That it was in fact a Sunni rebel group that was opposing Assad that had posed as a Shia group. And NBC, and they did this last week, in the middle of the week. I guess it was Wednesday night. They just put a little blog post saying, we were wrong about that. Now, in retrospect, I don't know that it would have dramatically changed the outcomes, ultimately, of what U.S. involvement was. I don't know if at the time it enhanced the push. We almost ended up getting involved in that. Or at least, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, we're involved now as far as we're dropping bombs on ISIS. But what's sort of stunning about this is apparently, according to the New York Times, NBC executives knew during the time that Engel was abducted that it was very possibly and perhaps likely that it was a Sunni opposition group. So you have the NBC News allowing basically a false story to stand for years, knowing that it wasn't the case. Apparently, they have basically copped to it, at least, because the Times had contacted them a month ago saying that they had information that the kidnappers were not who they said they were. But this is pretty amazing. I mean, contemplate for a moment what went on with the New York Times and Judith Miller, and you had NBC sitting on this information? I guess, ostensibly. I mean, for Engel not to know, completely understandable. If I'm kidnapped in a war zone, I'm crapping my pants so much, I don't know what's going on. But it's very strange that the NBC executives didn't think to perhaps say, like, hey, star war correspondent, you should know that we have other information that may be different from what you're reporting. Very serious indictment. I mean, it also starts to make you wonder, like, you know, how much did they know about Brian Williams? Very strange.
It's not uncommon in Syria on both sides of that conflict at all. There's a lot of, from what I've learned about it, there's a lot of operations like that that go on both sides.
Makes total sense. It's but the weird part about this is just
no, the
how
big
NBC
takeaway
didn't,
is NBC, definitely.
Very strange.
Definitely. Well, but I'm saying it even adds to how, you know, because even like there was nothing anomalous about it. Right. There was like this was regular common practice there.
Huh. All right. Well, let's take a break. Come back. We'll be back with a full program tomorrow for you freebies folks. Oh, and if you want to get the rest of the program, you can get it by becoming a member at majority.fm. Or you can just go to jointhemajorityreport.com. You can also support the program by buying your crap from our Amazon link at majoritypreportkickback.com. Go there to MajorityReportKickback.com. Click on the Amazon link. Bookmark it. Buy all your Amazon crap through there. We get a kickback. Thus, we call it MajorityReportKickback.com. And don't forget, JustCoffee.coop. You've got 10 more days to get free shipping. I bought a 5-pound bag for the office. It's en route. Free shipping. How could you not do that? So justcoffee.coop. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. I hope I use the coupon code. That would be a real drag. Oh, my God.
That would really be odd, too.
Well, you know, I use the coupon code, and it's like getting double discount for me because I get credit for every time somebody uses the coupon code.
Yes, I know.
And then I would get 10% off on top of that. So it's like a 17% discount. And with the free shipping, how could you not do that?
And you say it like 5 days a week, every year.
I would get it. I mean, if we had room, I would probably get like 70 pounds of coffee. Put it.
I mean, I think we possibly do have room.
Well, the thing is, they roast it once they get your order. So you're supposed to have it within like 3 weeks of it being roasted. I'm not so picky.
I don't know if three people in this office can drink 70 pounds. Well,
did you hear the?
If it was 70
did you hear
pounds of Monster Energy drink?
Did you hear the energy drink segment
did.
I did?
I did.
I hope that made a difference. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll play. It's 4:20, folks. April 20th. So we will play Fox News, Brian Kilmeade, on new dangerous marijuana. This is going to freak you out, man. Apparently, the marijuana will freak you out, and just hearing about it will freak you out. We'll also go over the clown car. Talk about this FBI failure that put many innocent people in prison. And just a recap on the TPP, TPA, TTIP, all that. We'll be right back after this. 646-257-3920. You can IM me via the app.